It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Yes, what is going on? Welcome to the Chris Van Vliet Show. What an original name for a podcast, right? I wonder who hosts the Chris Van Vliet Show. Although I guess there's a better name than just the name of my YouTube channel, which is just Chris Van Vliet. And I guess the more that I say it, especially here in the audio version of the podcast, I guess the more people will know how to pronounce it. Yeah, Chris Van Vliet. I get a lot of, oh, you're from Canada. It must be French. Chris Van Vliet. Although I guess it's not a French last name at all. It's a Dutch last name, like 12 generations ago or something. In any case, it's Chris Van Vliet. It is not Chris Van Vla, MJF. That interview's so ridiculous. But thanks for tuning in on this one. And persistence is the key with this one. I've been emailing Tennille Dashwood since the summer. First, trying to convince her to do an interview with me. She finally said yes to that. Then finding time when we were both in the same place at the same time, which happened to be me driving 5-ish hours, including one stop to charge my Tesla Model 3 to Chicago for Bound for Glory. So I was in Bound for Glory. We did a bunch of interviews there. You probably already heard the one with Tessa Blanchard. We got Tennille Dashwood. We got Big Mike, Michael Algin on the way. And there's so much to cover here with Tennille. I mean, it's been almost 2 years to the day that Emma was released from WWE, and we still don't really know what happened until now. It kind of all unfolds in this conversation. So this is episode number 41. Not bad, might I add, for someone who's been podcasting for 4 months. If this is the first time you're listening, you're awesome. Thank you. If this is the 41st time you're listening, you're also awesome, and thank you. I couldn't do it without any of you guys. I appreciate you guys being around and listening to the show. And if you're thinking of making a podcast, do it. I sat on the fence for so long, and I'm loving doing this. So, look, do it. What's the worst that could possibly happen? Put it out there, no one listens? Great. That's a chance for you to improve. You don't want lots of people listening when you suck. You want to suck when nobody's listening so you can improve that when people are listening, you'll be that much better. I also appreciate these reviews you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts. I'm going to continue reading one on the show as a shout out, like this one to Max Morphis, who titles this Bringing Wrestling Interviews Into... It cuts off, so I don't know. We can guess. Into what? What makes Chris's take on wrestling interviews unique are his choice of questions and guests. He chooses to focus on less frequently interviewed stars, for the most part, and actually asks them human questions about their history, motivations, etc., instead of digging for dirt on backstage heat and the like. Well, thank you, Max. That's a very astute observation, and I appreciate you leaving that review. Please keep them coming. And yeah, I like to dig in deep. I'm interested into what makes people tick. And I'm a firm believer that if someone is doing something that you want to do, if someone's super successful, Tony Robbins always says success leaves clues. And I'm a huge believer in that. If someone's super successful in one aspect of their life, they're probably super successful in a lot of aspects of their life. And I want to learn. Thanks to Samson for providing us with this audio equipment to make us sound so good. And if you are looking to start a podcast, you want a product, that's going to make you sound good. Or if you have a podcast and you don't sound that great and you want to step up your game for a fraction of the cost, go to samsontech.com. The mics that I use, they're only $80 a piece. Also, big thank you to Green Roads CBD products. And if you're thinking of trying CBD products, Green Roads is the way to go, because not all CBD products, not all CBD companies are created equally. And what makes Green Roads stand out above all the other ones is they are a pharmacist-founded company dedicated to improving the lives of the people who take it. I'm one of those people who take it. I take the Green Roads CBD oil under my tongue, couple drops, bloop, bloop, every single day. And it really just helps with focus. It helps with recovery after the gym, especially the cream. Rubbing that on after the gym really helps with recovery time. And this is something that's already naturally occurring in your body. CBD is naturally occurring in your body. And this kind of just balances out those levels. And It's made a drastic change in my life, especially with everything that's been going on lately with travel, and I've moved recently, and CBD oil on the products from Green Roads have really helped out. So if you're thinking about it, kind of like I was talking about the podcast, if you're sitting on the fence about CBD products, use my code CHRIS15. You'll get 15% off your first order at greenroadsworld.com, and you'll see what it's all about. So my guest today, you may know as Tennille Dashwood, which is her real name. You probably also know her, or you just might know her as Emma. She spent 6 years in the WWE. We talk about her time with the WWE. We talk about her teaming up with Santino Marella. Talk about the Emma dance and where that came from and why that was invented. And we talked about why her time with WWE ended and why it ended so abruptly. We also talked about the surgery she had. She had shoulder surgery with Ring of Honor. So we get down to all of that, and what's next for her? We just saw her at AEW. We saw her at Double or Nothing, and we saw her at All Out. So what could be next for Tennille Dashwood? We dive right into it. So please enjoy this chat with Tennille Dashwood. I've been chasing you down to do this interview for months, and here we are.
We're still laughing. Stop. Okay.
That's how you do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you. We're in the same place at the same time.
I'm glad because yeah. I felt bad that I had, it seemed like I dodged you a couple times, but I didn't. And now here we are.
Well, I saw you at, what was it? Oh, it was in Chicago. Well, I saw
right,
you.
Yes.
And you were like, hey, I forgot to email you back. I'm sorry. Like,
well,
no, it's fine.
I mean, the email gets crazy sometimes, and I don't always run it myself, so it's not even on purpose. Usually I see emails like a couple days later, I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We're making it happen now,
yes,
and that's all that matters. How does it feel being back in the ring?
Awesome. Like, I've loved wrestling since I was a little kid, so I feel like this is where I'm always meant to be, so it just feels at home.
Yeah, but you had, you know, there was a break there.
Yeah.
As you were recovering from your injury.
Felt like a lifetime.
Yeah. What was it, 10 months?
10 months, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably the longest break I've had since I started, I guess.
Probably,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I guess the time when I got signed with WWE, I had to have my shoulder repaired back then. But yeah, for about 8 years, that's probably the longest gap I've had.
Wow. So as you sit here right now, are you feeling 100% with the shoulder and everything?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. It takes time. Like, I've only been back for a few months to kind of like get used to being in the ring again, kind of get the flow back. But yeah, I feel really good. And, you know, it just kind of everything starts flowing again. And there's like the excitement of what's next. So that's cool.
Because here's the thing. You get in the ring with the sling on and Ring of Honor, and people, you know, they're never sure. Is this a work? Is this actually?
I'm like, no, it's real. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
Yeah. And then did you have the surgery like not long after that?
Yeah, I had the surgery in October last year, the beginning of October. So I wore the sling maybe a little bit before that when I had injured it. And then I knew I was having surgery already.
But it's fine to take bumps on it and everything's good.
Oh, yeah.
Now? It's like a new shoulder.
Yeah. There's titanium in this bad boy.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of screws.
Oh my God.
Which I might have to get taken out because, I mean, there's screws in my shoulder. But otherwise, good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. And how are things going so far for you in Impact?
Great. I mean, I'm having a championship match tonight.
Yeah.
I really can't get much better than that. Unless I win, then
that would be better.
That's the high point. So.
Yeah, yeah. Was this a secret that you had to keep for a while, where you were going?
I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, I was in talks for a while and kind of was keeping my options open and kind of just enjoying working for the independent scene, which I still am. So I managed to kind of do these shows and stay like a free agent, basically. So it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it really is. And now you guys are going to be on Access TV. So it's like now you get like a TV channel that it's Tuesdays, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And you're still working. Is it any indie bookings you want to work?
Yeah, I do what I want. I'm in charge.
It's all about you.
It is, really is.
No, that's
telling everyone that.
What was the reaction after you debuted on Impact?
I mean, it was awesome because I think people had been waiting to see like where I was going to go, what I was going to do. And even better when they announced the TV, because everyone was like, oh, I want to watch. I used to watch you all the time. Where can I see you? This and that. So it's like that's just kind of the cherry on top.
So everything's really coming together for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
But we saw you at AEW for All Out. How were you able to do that?
Well, I'm not exclusive. That's what I was saying. I do what I
want.
Oh, I do what I want.
Oh, you actually?
I agreed to work some dates with Impact, and I had already agreed to AEW before I agreed to stuff with Impact. So I was kind of like, this is what I'm doing, and I'm still going to do the independent shows wherever I want. So I've done lots of overseas tours, and I plan on doing a lot more of that. So I kind of can have fun and do what I want.
You know what this sounds like?
What?
The best deal ever.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah. Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Will we maybe be seeing more of you in AEW?
I mean, never say never, right?
That's the wrestling world for
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You just, honestly, you never, like, you could work with someone years and years ago and all of a sudden you're in the same company together, or it can be anyone, anytime, any place. You just never know. Mm. So,
how different would you say Tennille is from Emma?
I mean, as a character?
Yeah.
What Emma are you talking about?
Oh, that's true.
That's kind of the first thing we have to touch
okay.
on.
Okay. Well, how many Emmas would you say there are?
Two mainly.
Okay.
You know, there was the bubbly, ditzy, oblivious, bubble-popping Emma. I keep doing this because that's just what comes with it. And that was almost... That's kind of like my... I guess like my... the funny side of me. Like, I'm very kind of... I don't know, blunt and sarcastic person normally. And that was kind of like the me making fun of myself side of things. And so like, that's why it worked and was so much fun because, you know, I don't mind giving myself crap. So I was able to kind of go out there and know that I look like an idiot, and I didn't care because I knew, and I said, I look like an idiot.
What did you create the dance?
Yeah, it was me along with Byron Saxton actually at the time, and it was when Dusty was at, we were all at FCW, I picked this new music, and at the time it was like the music that we used, that was that music, but it was like, this is very strange, almost like a little alien, like weird. So I was like, what do? I have to do something when I come out. I can't just like walk out. So I ended up doing this like weird thing with my hands, and they were like, don't do that, but maybe like a little more like this. And we kind of adjusted it, and I just kind of kept trying it and trying it, and that's kind of evolved from that.
And then it caught on fast.
Yeah, which was crazy to me, but like the NXT crowds were like, and still are, awesome like that, where they kind of like, you're like their own product basically, and they kind of just caught on and just kind of grew with me, and so then like before long the whole crowd would be doing the dance with me, and it just made it so much more fun because I didn't feel like an idiot anymore. And I was like, people like this, all right.
It's hard to hear that song now and not do some sort of
right. Yeah, people still like, I'll go take a picture and they're like,
that's the
they
pose?
Do the pose. Yeah,
like what pose do you do?
I can't do like, it with, hang on, wait.
Okay, like, yeah. And when they do that pose, what do?
I'm like, wow. Well, they do the dance, and I'm like, that's a great dance. Where'd you learn that? Yeah, give myself credit.
That's the Emma dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Emma dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's part
mm-hmm.
of the evolution. So
the other
Emma?
Is more like,
what
me. We see in
Impact,
yeah, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like when...
aviator glasses, darker hair.
Yeah, more just like... I just want to wrestle and kick people's ass, which is me. And just showing like in less of the ditzy side and more like get to it. You know, like I was saying before, I've wrestled since I was like 13 years old, and I love wrestling like my whole life. So I wanted to show like I'm serious about this, and this is like my career and what I love doing. And so show people more like what I could do basically. And be taken more seriously, I guess, because a lot of people are used to like the ha ha ha, and I was like, well, no, I can go, you know, I can go, and
but
we
you,
can.
When you came in, you were more of like the serious wrestler, weren't
when
you?
When I came in
to NXT and WWE.
No, I started as the first thing was the ditzy. The dancing Emma.
A lot of hands. For anyone listening on the podcast, there's lots of hands.
The dancing Emma. This is how I have to explain one to the other. And that's how I came into NXT. And then from, I mean, I guess I did some matches in FCW before that, but like no one remembers that. And then I went to the main roster, did stuff for Santino, and then came back to NXT, was when kind of nothing was really happening for me on the main roster. I was like, all right, I need it. Something needs to change. I want to use that, what we're doing, the fact that I'm not being used, and turn that into like a storyline where I'm like, I should be used, like pay me some attention. Like, and that's how the whole, like, they called me Evil Emma, which I love too. But that was the fans. That was the fans. They named me that. And that's kind of how that evolved, because it was like, what about me? Why is no one paying me attention?
But out of that was really kind of the start of the women's revolution.
Well, thanks.
It's true. Like that match you had with Paige was like, oh yeah, they should let this happen more often.
Yeah. And that was cool because it was like the first... Well, the championship was brought in then, and then NXT, the live specials, had, that was like the beginning of that as well. So it was like a big moment for NXT as a whole, and then having a big women's match with a championship and having it mean so much as well. So yeah, it was kind of the first time, I guess we were like put to the test, and it was kind of like we delivered and everyone was really happy with it. And I think what helped with that was like the storyline leading up to it, and the fans were invested and we were invested, and it just meant so much more, especially when you have a good storyline.
Right.
So that I love being part of NXT and building all that. And, you know, obviously the revolution's like gone crazy now.
Yeah.
But it's cool to have like a small part in it. Yeah.
I think you have more than a small part in it. Like,
oh, thanks.
But it's true. You know, it was because of those types of matches that you guys were able to have. I mean, here we are, what would it be, 3 or 4 years later now?
Yeah.
That like...
Yeah, more. Four, at least four, yeah.
Yeah. That women's wrestling is just, it's a thing now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's wrestling is what it is.
It's an attraction, yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if it's men's wrestling or women's wrestling. Just wrestling in general now is...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's cool. Pretty great.
It's cool, because I know a lot of us, like, you know, the women on WWE that have just been killing it, and, you know, now AEW as well, but like... We all talk about how years ago we never thought that like we'd be where we are and this would be happening. So it's just really cool just to look back and just be like, wow, we did it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing where it is now.
Yeah.
And now you're, you know, you have the chance to be the Knockouts champion tonight, although this will air after. So sorry. You guys will already know what will have happened. I don't. We don't. Okay. We don't know what's happened.
I mean, in my mind, I'm winning the championship, of course.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Congratulations.
Thank you.
From my mind.
Let's just celebrate now.
To your mind?
Yes. All right.
When you were working the angle with Santino, were you also traveling with him?
No. I always traveled with Summer Rae or Dana Brooke after that. Paige sometimes at the beginning as well. But no, we never traveled together.
When you were first presented the, you know, Santino angle, were you like, this could be fun?
Oh, yeah. It was first presented to me at NXT, and I'd been doing this back to the hands. I'd been doing the Ditzy Emma, and I think Triple H at the time was just had this thought, like Santino and Emma, like he just had this idea. And at the time, he put us in a match with Summer Rae and Fandango at NXT.
Yeah.
And I remember that was like... The crowd went nuts. It was one of the funniest moments of my career. Like, Santino just cracks me up. Like, he's honestly one of the funniest people I've ever met. And I just remember we just kind of clicked, like, straight away. And it was like, he looked at me and was like, oh, you do this? Or let's do this. And then I was like, okay. And then, so, you know, like, I mean, he was great kind of leading me along and just hilarious. And we just kind of meshed. So I think from that, Triple H was like, yep, it worked. And then literally like a few months later, it was a thing on Raw.
And I don't think people understand or appreciate how good of a wrestler Santino is. Like,
yeah.
He fell into the comedy gimmick for so long, but like, he's an incredible wrestler.
Yeah. And an actual fighter too. Like
that too.
He's legit.
Yeah. Hey, he's running shows now in Toronto.
Yeah. I did one a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I caught up with him and he still makes me laugh a lot. I mean, some of the things he used to say like live on Raw, he'd be standing next to me. I can't even repeat them, but he'd be standing next to me and say something under his breath. And I would like die laughing, but I have to try not laugh. So I'll just be like, oh.
Like in the ring?
Oh yeah.
Oh
live
man.
Live TV, just under his breath. Like, yeah.
Oh. When you switched from the blonde hair to the brunette hair, did you have to, was there a lot of like conversations that had to go on to make this happen?
No. I just left WWE, so I was like, awesome. I'm going to do my hair. I can do what I want now.
And then
so that was it. I just colored it.
And then when you came back, they were like, yeah,
that'll
work.
Was like when I left. The last time. I didn't go back after that.
But when you had like the...
Oh, like the in-between?
Yeah.
Oh, that was when I did like the Evil Emma. So
Evil Emma had to have different colored hair.
Yeah, because I kind of did like more of the ombre. So it was like instead of like the...
I love that word.
The ombre?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's a funny hair word.
Okay. Yeah, it was it was more I don't know. That was for the people, not for
I
you.
See, yeah. I saw that too.
It was more like, yeah, it was like a change, like a darker feel to the character, and I wanted to change my look a little bit, so I got, you know, obviously new gear, added the gloves, the glasses, and that's when I did a bit darker and kind of left just the ends or whatever, like the streak down the front. So yeah, it was like when you turn bad, you got to be bad.
And was it you that asked for your release? Like, how did that all happen?
No, actually, it wasn't me. It was actually a really, really big shock for me. I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah. So at the time, I had just I was interviewed with Asuka, and we'd just done the pay-per-view. And that was her debut, I believe. Pay-per-view debut. I think it was like her actual debut as well. And we had like an awesome match, and I remember like everyone loved it. And then we had a match on Raw the night after. And then basically by the end of the week, I had a call saying that I was released.
Did they tell you why?
From what I heard, it was just that I don't even know what, because I feel like there's more to it than what sure. I was told. And it was kind of a very brief conversation, and you know, not necessarily everyone agreed or whatever it was, but basically I think the boss wasn't happy with something, and that was kind of it.
I just want to take a quick time out from this chat with Tennille to thank our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Harry's, and humans have been shaving for thousands of years, and the secret to a great shave, I mean, it hasn't changed much. The ancient Greeks, they didn't need flex balls or heated handles, and neither do you. Yeah, I said flex balls. That's why Harry's doesn't overcharge you for gimmicky features on the razors. They focus on what actually matters here. Sharp, durable blades at a fair price. Did you see AEW Dynamite this week? Did you see that close shave that I had? Harry's, yeah. They give me a close shave, easy glide. Best of all, it's a low price. So do me a favor. Check out harrys.com/bluewire for your free trial today. And Harry's is a return back to the essentials. Quality, durable blades at a fair price. That fair price is just $2 a blade. And it's super convenient. The blade refills are delivered directly to your door on a schedule with or without a subscription. And there's no risk. If you don't love it, send them back. Harry himself will refund you. I don't know if that's true, but they will give you a refund. Listeners of the CBV show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/bluewire, named after our podcast network, harrys.com/bluewire. You will get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover, great for me when you're on the road, and great to keep your razor dry and easy to grab. So go to harrys.com/bluewire to start shaving better today. Also, a big thank you to ShipStation, and the holiday rush is coming. If you sell stuff online, you better get with ShipStation. With more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to ship those orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of these orders? Or how do you decide which carrier is the best to use? Are you getting the best rates? Well, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door and to your customers' doors just in time, delivered for the holiday rush. So no matter if you're selling on Amazon, Etsy, your own website, whatever, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface. It makes them super easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. And they work with all the major carriers. So that's USPS, FedEx, UPS, whatever. You can compare all the rates, figure out what the best deal is. And they offer big discounts on shipping costs. So now any business can get the same kind of postage discounts that are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. So with that said, you know you're always getting the best deal. which makes you kind of realize why ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You ship more in less time with the best rates available. So take the hassle out of the holiday shopping this year. Let ShipStation handle it all with ease. Use my code BLUE, B-L-U-E, to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free, no hassle, no stress for your holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, type in BLUE, B-L-U-E. So that's ShipStation.com. Enter the code BLUE, B-L-U-E. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
I was like very shocked because I literally was packed to go on the European tour. So like a 2-week tour overseas, had my bags packed. I was going to the airport. It was on a Sunday. I was on the way to the airport basically and got a call and I was like, what?
And this all happened over the
phone?
But
it was a little bit more aggressive.
What?
Yeah, over the phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I've heard other stories where it's like, hey, we need you to come into the office.
Yeah, no. Wow. That was it. Didn't see them again.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And your contract doesn't protect you against something like this?
No, I guess not.
We're not lawyers.
I mean, the contracts are like, what do you call it? Like you're an independent contractor, right? Basically.
I would imagine it favors
the
company.
In your favor at all. Yeah. Like everyone always says, what happened? I'm like, honestly, I don't really know because, you know, like it seems a bit silly for like one little whatever it was. But I'm like, obviously the boss wasn't happy with me or whatever at the time. And that was it. So I'm like, shit happens, you know?
Right. But, you know, you've landed on your feet.
Yeah.
And things are.
And it's because of my career there that I'm like where I am today. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, I kind of try to turn everything into a positive. I'm like, because of that, I'm here, and because I'm of like where I am, I can do all these other amazing things, and like I know I have so much more to offer. So I'm like, turn into positive, and just kind of I use that to kind of continue on like the independent scene, and like launch that part of my career, and travel more, and do all these things that people can't do at WWE.
We've also launched like, you know, you're able to do influencer stuff, which you probably wouldn't be able to do with WWE.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, because there are some kind of, I guess, logistics with contracts, this and that. So
yeah, and if you've built a following that big, you might as well capitalize on it.
I kind of like let my fans know other things I'm interested in and try to make it you know, my social media not all about wrestling. I think everyone knows I love wrestling already, so you know, I try to introduce like, you know, my love for food or fitness and my love for travel. And you know, I sometimes, or because I can do my own schedule now, I can make it where I'm like, okay, this month I'm going to be in, for instance, recently I did like shows in Germany and Switzerland, and I was like, okay, I'm going to stay in Switzerland for an extra week and go see the beautiful mountains. And and so I did. And those are things that you can't do when you're contracted and have to be somewhere every single week.
Yeah, if you don't want to take indie bookings for 2 weeks and you want to go travel somewhere, you now can.
Exactly. I just have to plan ahead because my schedule is packed.
I'm sure
but
it is.
But I do have to, like, I can, if I want to, a few months ahead, I can plan.
Is the rest of your year completely booked up?
Yeah.
Must be nice.
I kept time for Christmas so I can go home and see my family, which are things like I couldn't do before. So, you know, there was years where I barely saw them at all. So like sacrifices you have to make, which is like, were in the long run worth it. And now I have that time where I can do these things that are more enjoyable.
Yeah. I know that, you know, with making a YouTube channel, it's time consuming and it takes a lot to make these videos and edit them and everything like that. Is that why Taste of Tennille stopped?
Yeah, basically. I was like, no, it was like, I had at that time, I think I'd just gone back to NXT, so I was kind of at home more because a lot of the shows are in Florida where I lived. And I was like, okay, I want to do something more with my time and still connect with my fans. So I started the show, I was cooking at home, I was filming myself and editing the shows myself, which I had no idea how to do.
It's so time consuming too.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly. But like, I have no idea when it comes to like computers and editing and stuff. So I was like literally watching like YouTube things and I'm like, how do I do like this tiny clip? And you can tell when you watch it, it's still not very good. But I managed to like, sometimes I'd upload and then mess that up. And then it would take me hours and hours just to get an episode up. And then I'd be like, done, you know. So it got to a point where I was like, I can't enjoy it anymore. And I started to get busier again because they were like, oh, Evil Emma went great, you're going back to the main roster. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I'm like, oh, I have no time now. So it's kind of just like, yeah, when I had time, I did it. And then I ran out of time and I couldn't do it on my own anymore. So I needed someone to like do it all for me, basically.
You've got time now.
No, not really. Like, no? I'm hardly ever home. Like, I haven't been home since for like a few weeks or so right now. And so I still go to Australia on Monday. Like, I'm not even going home after this.
What?
Yeah.
So you're just living out of a suitcase?
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Wow.
A few suitcases.
Well, though. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I have a lot of stuff with me.
How long are you in Australia for?
Not that long now, because I end up doing these impact shows. So originally I went to Singapore for a signing, and then from there to Bali, and then was going to go straight to Australia. But then this opportunity came up.
Yeah, so to win the Knockouts Championship.
Which I thought, well, hell yeah.
That was a big wink there. Yeah.
Don't give anything away. I already said I was going to win anyway.
That's right.
So this opportunity came up, and I was like, no, it's like something I want to do. So instead of going 6 hours to Australia, I went over 24 hours to Chicago. And that's why I'm a little bit of a lunatic this weekend.
No, but, you're great.
I seem fine right now.
Yeah,
right?
You seem
good. And then, I can't even think what I was saying. So I did the show, and then like a signing yesterday, and now today is the show, and then I fly.
Tomorrow is Monday.
Jeez. To Australia. And that's like over 24 hours
and
again.
And you'll get to Australia 2 days later.
And to answer the question you actually asked me, 2 days later, I get there on the Wednesday, and then on Friday I have a show. So I have like 2 days, basically. Then Friday's the show, and then Saturday I fly to Perth for another show. And then I come back again.
For Impact?
No, back home, finally. But I stay in Perth for an extra day because Summer Rae is going to be with me. So we're going to like see.
We can call her Danielle. Whatever
Danielle.
We want. Yeah.
We're going to see Perth a little bit because I haven't really seen it, even though I'm from Australia. And then do another 24 hours. This is way too many 24 hour trips.
Yeah, it's a long flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like just adjusting to the time. Like, I was awake very early this morning, like in bed, just wide awake. I'm like, great.
Oh, yeah, your body probably has no idea what time zone it is.
Yeah. And I got a little sick at the end of my Bali trip, so I've been a little bit of a mess. But here I am.
Yeah. Well, I've been following you on Instagram, and you did all of the stereotypical things you needed to do in Bali.
Mm-hmm. Got bit by a monkey.
I did not see
that. That's not stereotypical. Yeah, so, yeah, that was interesting.
Hold on. How did that happen?
That was a weird laugh. Anyway. See, I can make fun of myself. Okay, so there's a... In Uber. Stop laughing. In Uber. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, probably. Uber, something like that. There's a monkey sanctuary.
Okay.
Something like that. And we went to it. And it's wild monkeys, basically. But you're in like kind of like a forest kind of area, and you can walk through. There's footpaths and everything. A lot of people there. And you basically go to see the monkeys, and they're just kind of roaming around freely. And the people that work there like put some corn and veggies out to feed them. And they kind of like run around. People like take videos. And anyway, so when you go in, there's like this big ass sign at the front. Like, don't do this. Don't do that. Like, don't feed the monkeys. Don't touch the monkeys. If they touch you, just act calm and don't look them in the eyes. It was like this. I was like, okay. Oh. So we saw this sign and went to walk. I'm like, let's go read this properly. So I'm like, okay, walk on in. And then kind of like looking around. This is like really within the first few minutes as well. I sit down. I'm like, what if I sit down? Maybe like, we'll see what happens. Maybe
one will come near me. Yeah.
Smart, right? So I sit down and like this, right? I'm on this little... I don't know, bench, right? And I sit there and Danielle's like starting to film, but I was like, just get the camera ready in case like something happens, of course. And then so she's filming and she's filming something over there. And then this monkey literally comes and sits next to me. And I go, oh, Danielle, like get this kind of thing. And meanwhile, so the monkey, and I'm like looking over here, you know, don't look at it. So it grabs me by the hand. It grabs me by the hand like this. Like
the
put your
monkey
hand.
Grabs.
I'm sitting there like this. It goes like this, like a little baby. It felt like a little baby's hands, and I was like, oh my god! Like instantly, I was like, it's so cute. So it grabbed me by the hand, like we were like friends or something. And so I looked down at it, like, oh my gosh, it's
you
so
looked
cute.
It in the eye.
So there's a moment where it kind of lets go, and then it kind of goes like this with my hand, and then I look at it. And you see, it looks back at me and goes, So literally, I guess like the looking in the eyes is like a threat or like a sign of like an enemy. So it saw that, went from holding my hand and me being like, oh my God, look at it, to like a full on attack. And it started like gnawing at my thumb. And then I was trying to act calm still, because I'm like, don't freak out. So I was like, pulling my hand away. And then when I did that, it went in for like a big bite and like kind of got this finger. And that's when I was like, oh, like shit. And I like got out of there. And then you like, it's on video. I put it on my Instagram. So people have all been messaging me and watching it and like dying. Some people think it's hilarious. But I was lucky it didn't puncture the skin, because you can get like rabies and stuff from wild animals. So I was lucky it didn't puncture the skin, and I still like put, you know, like, what do you call it? Like a bacterial wipe on it to clean it off anyway after. But it was like Danielle literally, I was like, you could have stopped the video to like help me. She's in shock, just like filming the entire thing, which in the end I was like, wow, it's kind of cool we have this ridiculous video. And the amount of times she watched it after that, not even kidding, maybe 100 times, literally in tears, because she's slow-mo'd it. And the bit where it goes to bite, you see it has like these fangs, I didn't even know, like these two long ass teeth like on the sides, and you see it like at me, and she slow-mo'd and like zoomed on the monkey's face, and she's like in tears dying laughing. Like,
I imagine you guys left shortly thereafter.
Well, no, actually. Oh, no. I don't know. I wanted like a nice picture with a monkey, so we stayed around a little bit, but I was very like, I was like, that kind of like, it was like a traumatic experience for me.
Yeah.
So after that, we stayed a little bit, and then we saw like these monkeys were kind of like climbing on this guy, and I was like, I kind of want that, but I'm scared. So I kind of went near the wall, and one climbed on my back, and I just like did not move or look at it. And she took a couple of pictures, and then it, and I was like, now how do I get it off? And then it kind of like just jumped off in the end. And then I was like, whew, okay, let's go.
You got to do it for the gram.
I got my picture, and then I was like, out of there.
You got to do it for the gram.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's like, if that was me that got bit by monkey, she's like, it would be like a whole other thing, because she's like, I would have flipped. And she's like, you stayed so calm. I was trying not to like make it worse, you know, but
it could have been a lot
worse.
You
gotta watch the video if you haven't seen it.
I can't believe
I'll show you the slow-mo.
Let you down here. I'm sorry.
And meanwhile, she's laughing at the monkey, but my face is like pure fear. I'm like, no. The slow-mo of me, no. My face just drops. Like, it's hilarious.
So since you're going home this week, when you go home, do your friends think you have an American accent now?
Oh, yeah.
They, which is like, so funny.
That probably sounded American then, right? What? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, mate. Oh, yeah, mate. No?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh.
So
I got a 10.
Yeah.
I got a 10.
Moving on now. They do. They think I have an American accent. Like, I guess certain things, maybe certain words more particular than others, but... And compared to them, because some of them full like, g'day, mate. Like, how you going? Like,
that's not a knife.
No. Well, no one says that.
Yeah, they do.
Or like, shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, it's totally something you guys say, right?
Yeah, all the time. but I guess, yes, compared to them, what they're used to, I sound like I have an American accent.
Do you think that you do? Like, do you catch yourself going, huh, I now say that word like my American friends do?
Not really. Maybe like a little bit of like a... What's like a twang sometimes, like I can hear like a little bit where I'm like, that's not as Australian as I used to be. But you know, put me next to one of my friends for like a couple minutes and I'm like, oh yeah, nah, like it's just really bad. Like,
almost got the hand thing back there too.
Yeah, mate. No, we don't do that. This is not Australian thing. It's just a weird Emma thing.
It'll be with you forever though.
It'll be with me forever.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
No, I'm like the first person ever that had like a bubble machine on my entrance, so I'm proud of that.
You should be
proud of my
of
accomplishments. I had no titles, but I had a bubble machine. So I'm still doing lots of these things.
What? But, you know, seriously, what are you most proud of with your WWE run?
I loved my time at NXT. I actually was like one of the fastest people kind of to come through the system and go onto the main roster. Like after me, the people were there for years before they came up, you know, so I was there for about a year and a half. And obviously I'd wrestled before then. But, you know, when I first got my contract initially. It was at like an open tryout back at FCW, and I they had one contract and I won that. So that was like my first like huge thing is, you know, I wanted that my whole life. It was my lifelong dream to be a wrestler with the WWE, and I got that contract. So that was like, I'll never forget that moment. And then from there, you know, kind of killing it with the NXT stuff and all of us kind of just making a name for ourselves, and NXT becoming such a big brand like it is now. I loved all of that. And my matches with Paige that we kind of briefly discussed. And I really enjoyed I did WrestleManias. I really enjoyed my matches with Asuka. Like NXT TakeOver London was one of my favorite matches. And it was really the high points for me were more when there was a storyline involved and where I was wrestling, you know, like I had time and a competitive match, and the crowd was invested because we had told a story leading up to the pay-per-view and people cared. So those were like the biggest moments for me.
You've got all that now with your time in Ring of Honor, your time in Impact. You've got time in the ring to like really show off what you can do.
Yeah. I'm just going to have a stretch, though.
I'll do one, too. Why not?
I feel like I'm sitting really hunched for some reason.
There we go. Is the plan with getting all of this in-ring exposure to eventually go back to WWE?
I don't have a plan, really, per se. I mean, my plan, I guess, right now is to enjoy what I'm doing. And it's very important for me to be healthy and happy. It's the most important thing, and doing that can be, you know, more of my travels, more wrestling, and kind of balancing the two and not being so consumed in something where you kind of get stuck in that bubble and it feels like you have no life outside of it, which can and does happen a lot. And then, you know, balancing that with my life outside of wrestling and enjoying things that people talk about all the time and don't actually do. So I'm like, I don't want to be that person that says I want to do this and this and doesn't, like, yeah. I'm just gonna go do them. So that's the type of person I am. I'm like, I want to go to Bali, I'm gonna go to Bali, you know, I'm gonna get bit by a monkey if I want to. That wasn't the plan though. But
and you love to cook, so maybe you know maybe some more of that if you're ever home.
I'm never home.
What do you
right
love
now?
To cook?
I love making breakfast. That's not hard to cook, obviously, but I love making breakfast. I love baking, and then like other meals, like it can be anything really, like pastas or just certain dishes. But the thing is, I live by myself, so I don't really cook, because like I'll make all this food I want to eat, and then I'm like, I shouldn't be eating that, you know. It's going to be yummy food. I mean, I cook healthy food all the time, like chicken breast and rice and veggies
food.
And yeah, but it's boring, you know. It's better when like it's a group's function or something, or like a family thing, and we can all get together and cook together. I love doing that. So
the post you recently made was basically saying, "Hey, I'm going to start."
I'm actually
to do
really hungry right now.
Because we just talked about food.
Yeah, my action.
Okay, well,
take
see
off.
You
see you later.
The post you recently made was basically saying something like Taste of Tennille
could
maybe be coming back.
Yeah. So it was basically like an evolved version of Taste of Tennille because I'm not home. Ever
like a vlog.
Yeah. So it was like my life on the road. So, you know, like we're in Chicago today, for instance. I've been here for a couple of days. So say yesterday, like a life in the day. I don't know why I'm dyslexic lately.
I think it's
I
the other
I say things backwards all the time now. It's too much wrestling. A day in the life of Tennille. That's what you get. So, yeah, because, you know, I might get up and go for breakfast. I might go for a workout. And it's like, you know, whatever it is. Like, if I was in Bali, like, I went for a surfing lesson. So maybe, like, you'd get to see me surf for the first time, which is pretty hilarious. I have literally, like, a rash all down my leg from, like, the rubbing on the board. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to wear the
like a bodysuit.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I wore, like, a long sleeve top they gave us.
That's good.
Yeah. So my top half is fine. My legs are, like, torn up. It's great.
Is this going to be on your YouTube channel?
No, that I just put on Instagram. But like the actual show, I was just giving you an example. But
yeah.
So we're basically looking for a platform to launch it on. So if you're interested, shoot me an email.
I think it's
sponsors, platforms, yeah, whatever.
tasteoftennille@gmail.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I can't believe I remembered that.
And it can be anything though, because like you said, I love to cook, so I don't mind like going to a restaurant and cooking with a chef, or like if someone wants to cook and invite me to their restaurant, then like I'll go and eat and like promote their restaurant and like the experience we had there, and the places I go travel, like the hotels I've stayed in, some amazing places, and like people don't understand or see all of what I get to do.
Yeah.
And it's some pretty amazing stuff. So I was like, oh, I just wish I could show all of it, you know? And like when I saw the girls the other day, they're all like, oh, I've just been like living through your Instagram or your videos, whatever. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm doing this show for, because people say they like live vicariously through me. And that's basically the plot of the show.
So basically you're
live
saying
through me.
You want to do all this, but not edit it. That's
basically
what
I don't want to do any of the hard work. Yeah, no, I'm working with a production company right now.
Oh,
so
awesome.
So basically, they would, in theory, come to wherever I am, and we would travel around and film, and I would meet up with people at a restaurant, professional athletes, surfing coach, whatever it is, and, you know, try different sports, try different places to eat, maybe some rehab stuff, some PT stuff, you know, for the wrestling and recovery, and like that's kind of the plot of it, and to get a more of an insight into like my real life.
If you've already got
the real Tennille, if you like it,
that's it. Is that what's called?
Are you gonna sponsor it?
I mean,
pay up.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, we'll discuss.
Yeah,
after.
I gotta go now.
That's a yes.
Wow. Well, if you already
it's
have
your interview, you can't leave me.
I can't leave my. I could.
We'll see what happens.
Look,
All right.
See ya.
All right. So anyway, you're lucky.
If you already have all the subscribers you have with Taste of Tennille, why don't you just rebrand Taste of Tennille?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And then we can tell people right now to subscribe.
Subscribe.
There you go. I'll put the link
to
down
Taste
below.
Taste of Tennille.
There
hey,
you go.
Hey. Hey.
Huh?
Yeah.
So you subscribe. It's down below.
Subscribe.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you said it, not me.
I kind of. But so if you already have the platform and you already, you know.
Yeah. So basically we're just looking for kind of more like, I know places I want to go visit and things I want to do.
Yeah.
But people that are interested in being a part of it. Because, you know, when you have people like that, it just all comes together better and it's more exciting. So
yeah.
Looking for people to reach out and kind of just pull everything together.
And would wrestling have any part of this as well?
I mean, wrestling is like a big part of my life, so I'm always going to like talk about it or refer to it, or you know, it's probably a lot of my trips will be associated with a wrestling trip probably. So yeah, in that degree, yeah.
Who is your favorite all-time wrestler?
Stone Cold. Stone Cold.
You have a favorite Stone Cold match?
You know, for me, like, what drew me in as a little girl was more like the entertainment side of it. Like I loved, I remember literally sitting like this close to my TV and like his music would hit and I'd be like, yeah, like the glass would shatter and I'd be like, Jake, it was my brother, Jake, Stone Cold's coming out. Like I was just nuts for the whole theatrical side of things. And, you know, just like whatever it was, like the crazy fights they got into, but even not even in the ring, you know? So,
yeah.
And then I guess when I understood it more and I grew up a little bit more, then I became more invested in like the wrestling side of it. But that's kind of what that spark was for me. It's just the music, the real like fighting, the badass side of Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there an all-time favorite match? Doesn't have to involve Stone Cold, but just in general?
You know what? It's weird, but I don't really have like a all-time favorite match. Yeah,
I'm sure you have lots of stuff.
I mean,
you just
appreciate. There's like a million, but I just it's not like I'm like that's the match. Like, there's more like moments for me, and like I said, a lot of them, it's more the storylines or the feeling in the moment when it happens rather than like the match itself. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you making
the
time. Oh, my favorite match of all time?
Yeah.
Talked about it many times, but...
Boring.
No, it's okay. everyone, it's Rock Hogan, WrestleMania 18.
Okay.
I was there.
But again, see, that's like very theatrical characters. It was all like the moment and the feelings they gave, yeah.
So it was, you know, I was there. I was sitting in like the 26th row on the floor. And that moment... where Rock and Hogan have that stare down at the start of the match. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It was such a special moment.
Yeah.
And I interviewed The Rock. I've interviewed him a bunch of times now, but I interviewed him the first time and I said, I got to tell you, Rock, my favorite match was you and Hogan, WrestleMania 18. And he goes, who were you cheering for? And I'm like, I was cheering for Hogan. He's like, yeah, me too.
Oh, I was like, oh, you're in shit. Oh, that's cool.
Have you seen that match?
Yeah. But you just reminded me, though, because when WWE first came back to Australia in, I think it was 2002, it was a global warming tour. And there was like literally, I think it was 67,000 people in the arena. It was like the biggest show.
Wow.
Like, I guess before last year or whatever it was. And I was, I don't know, how old was I then? 14. I don't know how to add up this quickly. Anyway, but I was very young. No, younger than that. I was younger than that. So,
well, it would be, if it was 2002, it's 17 years ago. So your age minus 17.
Yeah, so I'm 30. Yeah. So 13, around that. Yeah, yeah, okay. So I know. I'm good at math. I just kind of put myself on the spot. And then, so I remember I was in high school, and I remember I think I was late that day, and I ran to the place to get line up to get tickets. There's like no online stuff back then. Or maybe there was, I just didn't know. And then, so I remember I spent like all my savings on getting this ticket. But at the time, my mom was like, you're not going by yourself. And I was like, well, what do I do? So I bought her a ticket like way up in like the nosebleeds. Like, it was like $60. It was still like, oh, it's a lot of money, mom. But so I bought that for her, and I paid, I think it was like $350 for my ticket. And I sat kind of like in the second section on the ground. And I remember that the match was Rock, Brock, and Triple H. And I remember, like, it was like my first moment at a WWE show ever. And wow. I remember just like sitting by myself in this row full of people, but they were chanting for, I think it was the, I can't remember who it was exactly, but like someone was chanting for The Rock and someone was chanting for Triple H, but we were like dual chanting. And yeah, I remember thinking, like, this is the coolest moment ever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like, no one I knew and no friends or anything, but I was like, yes.
I had a very similar moment during the Rock and Hogan match.
Yeah.
Because Rock was supposed to be the good guy, and everyone's cheering for Hogan.
Yeah.
And here I was cheering as loud as I could for Hogan, and this little kid beside me is cheering for The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Rock wins the match, he's like, see, I told you. I'm like, well, I don't think anyone expected Hogan to win.
Yeah. But, well, that's the reason why, like, I'll always be a fan, too, because it's like those moments that, like, made me love wrestling.
Yeah. Look how excited we got talking about these matches.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Have you had a favorite match? I guess your favorite match that you were in, you were talking about, was with Asuka, probably?
Yeah, TakeOver London. I loved that match. And NXT Arrival, I guess. Yeah, were probably my two of my biggest matches. And it's funny because they're actually both NXT matches. I feel like I had a lot more to offer on like the main roster. I didn't really kind of get to where I wanted to be, and I was kind of getting there, and then that happened. So
I think you'll be back.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the way the wrestling world works.
I don't think I left on bad terms, and, you know, it was obviously a decision at the time, and it wasn't like a big long-term, leading up to thing or anything like that. So, yeah, you just never know.
When you got let go, were you not able to work indie shows right away?
There's like a 90-day clause.
Yeah.
So
I remembered you worked the AIW show in Cleveland.
Yeah.
My buddy John Thorne runs that.
Oh, yeah.
And he called this show, we have a dill Emma. Because they weren't allowed to use the name Emma.
Which I think he can, actually. I found out later. Maybe it was like for a certain amount of time you couldn't. I'm not sure. But someone said they looked it up to see if they could advertise me. And they said, oh, it's not copyright.
I don't know how you could trademark Emma.
Emma anyway, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess like they're like, we can use it. And I was like, oh, well, there you go.
Did they come up with Emma or did you?
It was me, but at that time you kind of just submit like a list of names.
Right.
And then they would review it. But like I didn't just put Emma. It was like Emma so-and-so,
yes.
Emma so-and-so. And like there was a list of, and there was other names, I can't remember, but there was like not just one name. And then they came back and they were like, Emma. And I was like, Emma what? Just Emma? I remember thinking like, that's it? And then I was like, okay. And I just like made it work.
Yeah, they really like the one name names now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why I came up with all the like the dilemma, the Emmolution, the all the Emma phrases and puns and whatever. So I kind of just had fun with it and made it work.
That's very punny of you.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We're going to end it with that.
Yeah, on a high note.
Yeah, real high note. I'm excited to see you in an Impact ring.
Thank you.
It's congratulations on everything. Congratulations on having the best deal in pro wrestling, apparently.
Yeah, makes it exciting because, like, you know, the Impact Division's awesome. So, you know, I'm loving what I'm doing here. And then it's like, I'm not necessarily like restricted where, you know, I want to kind of continue living my life and enjoying it and having that balance and traveling more. So I don't want to be anywhere where I can't really do what I want. But, you know, I'm open to opportunities. So I'd be silly not to be. So, and like I said, there's a lot more I feel like I had to achieve at WWE, and I know AEW's killing it. So, and I, you know, and I'm friends with people everywhere. So
yeah,
that makes it exciting for me that you just, so, anything can happen in the future.
Who knows where you might end up?
Yeah.
Who knows? Exciting, everyone. All right. Thank you.
You could be a little more excited than that.
Okay. One more time.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a countdown.
3, 2, 1.
This is very exciting.